Today is Friday, June 25th, 2010. Please bear with us. We have a new microphone, and we're trying to get used to it. And you know how technology is. When you get a new contraption, you have to kind of get used to how to use it. They don't make them like they used to. Anyway, Mark wanted to have a discussion entitled
"Why We Are Held Accountable to Others in the Body of Two or Three Witnesses." The Lord will be in the midst of us.
Okay. Why are we
Christians?
Why are we held accountable to each other?
As Christians, as two or three witnesses. As Christians.
Okay. Well, there is a lot of scripture to back up your topic. Not only are we to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we are commanded to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We are also told to edify and build up one another in the most holy faith. Now, there's a great benefit to have friends in the body of believers that will hold us accountable. Now, Mark, I want you to go to Ephesians 4:12 and read that for us. I'm going to have you read several different passages about this being accountable to others. Ephesians 4:12. Now, whenever accountability breaks down, there's a problem. We can see that right now in the White House. Barack Obama doesn't think he's accountable to anyone. He doesn't think he's accountable to American people. He doesn't think he's accountable to even his own cabinet and his administration. The only thing he is concerned about is Barack Hussein Obama. I would say Barack Insane Obama. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay. So that's one of the things we need to do, is we need to build up and edify the body of Christ. We know that there's no greater work that we can do than to build up the body of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times it's not as easy as it may seem, because sometimes building up and edifying the body of Christ is also has to do with saying things that are not necessarily easy to tell people. The truth sometimes is not smooth. Christ and the apostles found that out. They were not always well received. He tells us in another place, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Well, when you start exhorting people in today, if you start exhorting people today with all long suffering and doctrine, the moment you get into doctrine, they want to take a hike. And we're also told to rebuke with authority. We're told to exhort one another daily. And man, if we start doing that today, we're in trouble. People, then they try to say you're judging and all kind of things. Mark, go to 1 Timothy 6:2. Now, accountability works both ways. And I recently had someone email me. I had put something on a sermon. Doesn't really matter what it was. And my information was just incorrect. I had been given the wrong information. Well, I immediately took that off the sermon audio and I emailed back the person and said, "Hey, I'm very glad you pointed that out to me, and I will immediately remove it from sermon audio." Those things happen. those things do happen. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
1 Timothy 6:2. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort.
Okay, we're instructed to teach certain things and to exhort certain things. Mark, go to Titus 1:9. We're supposed to teach the word, be instant in season. And our topic today is why it's important to be accountable to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we start teaching things that are not in the Bible, and I say this to my audience all the time, if I'm teaching anything that's not in the Bible, please point it out to me. I want to know about it. I don't want to be guilty of the very charge I'm making against some of these false teachers out there. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Hold ye fast the faithful word as ye have been taught, that ye may be able by sound doctrine both exhort and convince the gainsayers.
Okay. To exhort and convince the gainsayers. Okay, now, go over to Titus 2:15. Titus 2:15.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise them.
Okay, so when you start rebuking and exhorting with all authority, people are going to despise you in this day and time. It's going to happen. Okay, now I want you to go to Romans 12:8. Romans 12:8. Read that for us.
For he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with truthfulness.
We're also told to edify the church. Now, Mark, go over to 1 Corinthians. Let's see. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:4. 1 Corinthians 14:4.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
So what he's saying there is stick with the word. Don't try to go into things that are not clearly proclaimed in God's word. Mark, go down to 1 Corinthians 10:23.
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
So, he says, try to stick with things that are going to edify and build up the body of Christ. And go to Romans 14:19.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
Okay, now read Romans 15:2.
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification.
And go over to 1 Corinthians 8:1. Talking to someone recently, and they said, ask them how they were doing, and the person said, well, I'm trying to stay out of trouble. Well, we've not tried to get into trouble, but I was kidding around with the guy. I said, forget it, you're going to always be in trouble.
Yeah.
We're going to always be in trouble with somebody. You know, what was it? Wasn't it Lincoln that said, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time? Okay, go ahead.
Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth.
Okay, so we need, there is a balance between exhortation and edification. Say that again. There's a balance between exhortation and edification. There's a balance between charity and what I would call, rebuke. There's very little rebuke going on in this day and age. Everything's about tolerance in this day and age. People like to hear sermons on 1 Corinthians, and there's nothing wrong with love and charity, but there's always a but in there. We don't have a clear definition of what love is, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're going to be singing Kumbaya, and you're going to be going to a Cat Stevens concert where he's talking about getting on the peace train. Everybody get on the peace train, right? Yeah. Cat Stevens wrote that beautiful song, Morning Is Broken, but then, it's a beautiful song, but then if you start listening to Get on the Peace Train, and I'm pointing that out because a lot of people don't understand, when you start getting on the peace train, you're getting on the ecumenical roller coaster. Charity. We're told to follow faith and peace. And we're told that 1 Peter 4:8 says that charity will cover a multitude of sins. And we are told that charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. The greatest of these is charity. Well, we're supposed to show brotherly kindness and all of that. Sometimes it's hard to do when people are lying to you. You know they're lying to you. But yet, 1 Timothy 1:5, Mark. 1 Timothy 1:5. Read that for us.
Now the end of the commandment is charity, as a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned.
Okay, go to 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22.
Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Defend the call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Okay, now I want you to go over to 2 Titus 2:2. Titus 2:2.
Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience.
Okay, and I'm going to read now. Romans 14:5 says, "You're over there. You've got it. Go ahead and read it for me."
One man esteemeth one day above another; another esteemeth every day alike. But every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Okay, so there's a good example there. He says, verse 7, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And he says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we're not only accountable to ourselves, to each other, we're accountable to God. Read verse 17.
The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
So again, he says in 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So, our lesson today is about being compassionate and long-suffering. Now, there are rules as to where those limits begin and where they end. And that's what people don't want to hear about. You know, we're exhorted to eschew evil, to do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, reading in 1 Peter 3:11. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Well, it says in verse 16, read that for me.
Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accused for good conversation in Christ.
For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. What happens if people come to you under the guise of being charitable and rebuke you and say that you're uncharitable because of positions you're taking on doctrine in the Bible? For an example, what if people rebuke you for standing up for the doctrine of election and saying you're being uncharitable by not going along with Arminians who deny predestination election? I'm just using that as one example. What about if someone comes to you and tells you that you're being uncharitable for speaking out against someone like Billy Graham, who says that you don't even have to know the name of Jesus Christ to get to heaven? Are you, you know, and you're not being long-suffering and charitable? What about someone that comes along and says, well, you're not being charitable because you're speaking out against preachers like T.D. Jakes and Joyce Myers and, you know, John Hagee and Paul and Jan Crouch and all of these people, and you know that they're teaching things that are absolutely contrary to the Bible? What do you do then? Well, I guess you're right. I guess I'll just start going along with the flow. Roll with the flow, you know. Problem is, silence gives consent. That's an old saying I was raised on. Silence gives consent. Another song, silence is golden. That's what a lot of Christians have the idea anymore. Silence is golden. Just, you know, we don't want any conflict. The Christian life is one of conflict, whether you want to admit it or not. If you're going to take a stand, you know, water runs downhill, it doesn't run uphill. And if you're going to try to row against the tide of false doctrine, you're going to have to get in the boat and you're going to have to put some effort behind those oars and row uphill. Or else, all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself floating downstream of doctrinal incorrectness and falsehood. And, yes, we are to be held accountable to one another. And we are
Christians too.
As Christians, yes.
As Christians.
There's a lot of people out there that want to just feel good, go by their feelings, you know. Oh, just come and give me a hug.
You're trying to spirits.
Yes, we're to try the spirits and make certain they're coming from God. Oh, let's just sing another song. You know, and there's certain songs out there that are what I call the feel-good songs. You know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. That's what Unity likes to sing. Well, the only problem is the Bible says there will not be peace on earth. That he came to bring a sword, not peace. He said that your enemies are of your own household. And he also says not to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Who are the unbelievers? The ones who are denying the Bible. The ones who are denying the Bible. So this has been a rather short discussion about being held accountable to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And hopefully it will be helpful in the balance between charity, edification, and exhortation. Father, we pray that you would take this message and use it for your glory. We pray in Christ's name.